Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 24th, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Also, send me your email anytime, especially if there is a criticism or a disagreement, to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I promise I will respond to each one personally. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website. That's Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N, -associates.net. In his newsletters, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, Andy's on our program the third Wednesday of every month. He's a brilliant guy. I mean, he's really smart. He's an economist. He's the chief strategist for Sutton Associates, his own company. He puts out a couple of newsletters. One is called My Two Cents, and it's terrific. And it's free, by the way. And then he has paid subscription where he goes more into detail, called A Sensible Investor. Folks, I encourage you to subscribe to both of them. And one is free, so it's reasonable, very reasonable, and the other one is extremely reasonable, and you'll be glad that you did. Liberty Talk Radio is now available via iTunes as well as Twitter. Now, you know, someone sets this up for us, folks, and I really don't know too much about it. I don't play with computers much at all. I just don't have the mind for it, I guess. I guess maybe I'm just not smart enough for it. But we're on. You can get us off iTunes, I guess, downloads off iTunes, and the same now off of Twitter. How you get there, I don't know. I guess you put in Liberty Talk Radio on Twitter and iTunes, and you'll find it. I'll find out next time. I'll let you know. I was just notified this yesterday. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. There's also a map on there where you can indicate, you know, where you're listening from. And you don't have to put your name or anything, and there's a little stick figure shows up and shows people from all over the globe and where they're listening from, which is terrific. And I'd like to see more people do that. I know we have plenty of listeners. In fact, I think I've mentioned this about a dozen times before, so I'm so proud of it. I thought we'd have a couple of hundred downloads a month, and now we are, I think we are approaching or exceeding 10,000, which I think is absolutely phenomenal for a station that does absolutely no advertising whatsoever. I put the bill all myself. I'm not financed by anyone. Of course, my wife's audiology practice pays a couple of things during the month, and we give her acknowledgement for that, and that's about it. And that's about it. And I'm proud. We are going, in the next couple of months, we'll be going on 5 years of broadcasting of Liberty Talk Radio. And I think one of the reasons why this station has been successful as it is because of the name, Liberty Talk Radio. Very plain. It's not a crazy name like, you know, save the, you know, crush the planet or crushthegovernment.com or something stupid like that. It's Liberty Talk Radio because it's exactly what we do. We talk about liberty and what that really means to us. It means to you and me. You and me as regular people. We don't have to be a certain level in life, a certain age. It applies to everyone. Whether you're 3 years old, you're 93 years old, it makes no difference. Or 103 years old, I should say. It makes absolutely no difference. This morning I heard Don Imus, and he made an excellent point. I like Don Imus. I really do. He's not politically savvy. He doesn't really understand libertarianism, but he questions everything that people say, and I like that. I like that a lot. And his program is fun. That's why I listen to it, because they argue with one another. They call each other every name in the book, but it's all done in jest, and they really love and respect each other. And I like that. I really, really like that. And today he said, you know, he's listening to Rush Limbaugh, and he says, the man is fabulous. He says, he has no idea what he's talking about. The guy's a real nutcake, but he is a fabulous talk show host. He says he probably is the best ever in this, best ever. And he made a good point. He's a fabulous talk show host. He is great in what he does. He is fabulous. I mean, no one can deny that this guy can get on the radio and talk 3 hours on one subject. It's amazing. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And this guy, you know, but he also admits, he says, but the guy's, you know, out of his mind. You know, most of what he says is garbage, and he's true, you know. So he said the truth. He said, here's a guy who's really good in what he does, you know. Unfortunately, what comes out of his mouth is not always, you know, logical good stuff, you know. The guy's a nutcake in a way. So understand that. I hope that I'm not a nutcake. I really hope that what I say makes sense to you. And I hope when you listen to this, you are enticed to continue listening. And that's the point. I've listened to many talk show programs, and some of them are very, very, very good, and I'm motivated to listen to the end. You know, I hope this is one of those programs. Not many of them, folks. There's really not many of them. So I really wish, I hope that I'm one of them. And if you can send me email and tell me, give me feedback and say, Joe, your program sucks, and this is why. This is what I'd like you to change. I'd love to hear that feedback, but people don't do that. What people will do if they don't like something about your program, they just don't listen anymore. And I don't blame them. That's what I would do. But I would love feedback, not only from supporters of this program or supporters of Liberty, but also, more importantly, from those people who disagree with the concepts of this program. Because this program is about us as individuals, not as a group, but individuals who make up a society. And if we are individuals intact, we'll make up a solid society that cannot be broken, not even by a strong autocratic government. I have so many items I want to discuss this morning. I'm having a problem. I mean this. I'm really, really having a problem, and this is it. Everything seems to be wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Everything seems to be wrong. Nothing seems to be right. Nothing. Every time the government says something, if you think about it, it's garbage. It's wrong. It's illogical. I mean, it's a spin. Everything. I mean, not one or two things. Everything. And I have people who argue. I have a friend of mine, brilliant guy. He argues with me all the time. Oh, no, we're doing the right thing here. We're doing the right thing there. If we're not, we're not doing the right thing anywhere. In fact, yesterday he got in an argument with me regarding Libya. Not an argument, but he disagreed with me. He says, well, you know, the people there need our help, and it's only fair for us to go in there, you know. I said, wait a minute. Hey, if you want to talk about Libya, how many German planes in this coalition, how many German planes are in Libya? I have the answer to that, folks. None. You know what Germany said? Stick it up your nose. Now, most people say, well, those damn Krauts, you know. No, I give them credit. Stand up. I'm not going to get involved in that garbage. Hey, Libya's my next door neighbor. I don't want to get involved in choosing sides. I choose the wrong sides. I'm in trouble. And first of all, I don't have the money to do that. That'll cost hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars for us to have planes and bombs and rockets and all that other stuff and monitoring no-fly zone and losing soldiers and, you know, there'll be all sorts of ramifications. I ain't doing that. Forget it. Not worth it. Don't care. France? France says, ha-ha, oh, France are going to participate. They said they'll give us two Mirage jets. Two. But they can't be involved for more than 2 weeks because they can't afford it. You know, who does that leave? Well, it leaves Great Britain as a minor role and the United States, as usual. And now what we're doing is we're bombing another nation. We're bombing another nation. Killing, 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 killing. We keep on killing more and more people. Now, yeah, we take out a site here and there. We kill who we define as the enemy. We, folks, define as the enemy. We say, oh, this person is against this person. That person's the enemy. We got to kill him. How do we know that? Why is that person the enemy? Why? Why is that? Why? That person's not bothering me. If I met the person in Walmart, probably nicest guy in the world. If I say, hey, by the way, I'm short 15 cents, he'd probably give it to me. Why is that person my enemy? Why? I want to know why that person's my enemy. Oh, because they're rioting in the street and they're against the government and the government's against these people. We don't know that. We don't know a damn thing. We know absolutely nothing. All we know about Libya is what the government wants us to know. And whenever the government wants us to know, what does that mean? That means they're giving us spin and we don't know the truth. Folks, already we have someone on the line. This is terrific. I'm glad early in the morning. Let's see who it is. You're on the air. Where you're calling from and your first name, please. Hello? Oh, you don't want to speak. That's fine. Okay. All right. That's fine. I'm sorry. You didn't press the one button. I didn't notice that. And that meant you wanted to speak. So I got somebody on the line that doesn't want to be on the line, doesn't want to be on the show. And I don't blame you. Okay. But you can hold on. That's fine. You can stay on the line. If you want to interrupt me anytime, please do so. And I'm just being served a hot cup of herbal tea because I can't have too much caffeine because my blood pressure, believe it or not, I have high blood pressure, you know, and a couple of cookies. That's going to be my early breakfast this morning. Thank you very much. Whoever you were, thank you for calling in. And I'm sorry I clicked you on. I didn't mean to do that. Please do call back when you have a question. I apologize for that. Anyway, but it was nice. Somebody early in the morning is listening. It was area code, I think, 215. I have no idea where that is. Folks, where was I? All right. So all we know about Libya is what the government wants us to know. So that serves to perpetuate what they are doing. You know, and we walk around and, you know, we have intelligent people, really smart people. I'm telling you, smart people. I have friends that are really smart people, you know, who believe this crap. Well, I don't understand. I don't know where the dividing line is. I don't know where it is for the person who is brilliant. I mean, well-read, logical thinker, everything. And when it comes to government or politics, they're brain dead. I don't know what happens. I have no idea what happens. I don't know how that happens. All of a sudden, well, I'm a Democrat. You know, bloop, you know, they become idiots overnight. And I don't understand that. Don't understand that at all. Maybe someone can call in and explain that to me. So here we are. We're involved in a something with Libya. I want to say a war, a no-fly zone. It looks like a war to me. You know, firing rockets. We fired, I think, 20, oh, geez, they said 20 or 120, you know, cruise missiles or something. And each one, now, I've read they cost $569,000 each, and I've also read that they cost $1 million each. I don't know how much. But, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars. My question is this, where are we getting the money from? We're bankrupt now. We're in the hole to mega trillions of dollars. Where are we getting the money from? Think about it. Now, you also have to think of this way. The military-industrial complex needs wars. They can't make money if there's no war. You know, they need, let's say, 100 missiles. They build 100 missiles, goes in their arsenal, it sits there. Ball game's over. That's it. Goodbye. Everyone goes home. No jobs, no nothing. No one makes any money. The money-making machine stops. So what do you, well, we got to get rid of those missiles. We need more missiles. Well, we can't, we have no place to put them. We can't keep on piling one on top of the other. They'll crush each other, right? So what we do is they start a war. We start a war, folks. We get involved. Not we start a war, but we get involved in a conflict. And we exasperate the situation. Then we take those missiles we just manufactured and we use them. Then we have to do, what do we have to do? We have to manufacture more missiles. So we keep this, maybe the economy's doing well. Folks, do you realize? You realize that in prior wars, other than Vietnam and this, we had to sacrifice here at home because our natural resources were being used to fight a war overseas. Not justified war overseas, but just fighting a war overseas because the military-industrial complex likes it that way. They like people getting killed. They like to use shit and stuff like that. Excuse me. But they just like to do that stuff constantly. Now, What happens if this, we say, ah, peace, peace on earth, oh, peace on earth, you know? The world would be a kinder, more gentle place, as George Bush used to say. And we brought our troops home. We would enter into a depression that you would not believe, and it would be instantaneous. The unemployment rate would be phenomenal, not only because all of the men and women coming home would have no jobs, but all of the factories that would close down because they make parts for military engagement. I'll give you an example. We have plenty of companies that my company does business with, you know, hearing testing and respiratory testing for respirators and stuff like that. You know, they're making parts. They don't make a tank. You know, they just pipes and tubes and plates and stuff like that. And when somebody says, what do you do with this stuff? I mean, what do you do? They say, oh, no, we just supply the plates to the manufacturer. You know, we make them to specifications because they need it for the Humvees or the Abrams tanks or whatever. You know, so you got all of these companies making parts, employing people, making parts so they can take this stuff, go somewhere, and get killed. Now, just think, what kind of sustainability is that? What kind of sustainability is that? Absolutely none. In other words, we have to perpetuate the war. And if we don't, this economy would collapse. Absolutely collapse. And it wouldn't be like, you know, within 6 months, a year. It would be immediate. Now, I got a surprise for you. I had no intention of talking about this. Absolutely none. But it really grabs me that everything we hear and everything we hear is a spin, is garbage, and is tainted. And every single thing that we do is wrong. We don't do anything right. Individuals do things wrong. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what we are doing. What we are doing, we may be doing things right, correctly. But whatever the government is doing is never right. It is never correct. Never. And if you think I'm wrong, please call in and say, no, you're wrong. Here's one. Here's an example. I'm sure I will not hear from you. Now, let's stop for station identification, if we can.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. This morning, we're going to have a short program, about 45 minutes or so, and we're going to be talking about political elitism, foreign policy, and the education myth, amongst other things. And I'm on a roll this morning, and I'm getting way off track. Please do give us a call, 888-773-4496. That's toll-free, folks, 888-773-4496. Send me your comments anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. And I wanted to apologize to the person who called in. I think it was area code 215. They just called in, but they did not indicate that they wanted to make a comment on the program. They were just listening on their telephone, and I clicked them on the program. And I certainly do apologize for that. That must have been embarrassing for them because they were unprepared for that. Anyway, here we go again. This morning, guess what? I looked, turned on the IMUS program just to see what the world was doing just for about 2 minutes. I do not listen to television much unless I'm going to watch the drag races, you know, or something like that, or the History Channel. But I do turn him on the morning because he's fun to listen to. I listen for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then I've had enough. But I noticed this morning that I believe gold may be at an all-time high of $1,441 plus per ounce. Now, it should be much higher than that, but here we go, folks. That should be telling you something. Oil, $106 a barrel. Now, folks, understand this. We don't know much about oil. I know I don't. I used to work for an oil company, and I realized how little I really knew about oil. Let me give you one example. The oil that we are processing today is not the same oil that we processed many years ago, what they call the West Texas Intermediate. That was what they call sweet crude. Relatively easy to process, to crack. And they crack it and they make, you know, diesel fuel. Today we're getting oils that are less sweet, or they call sour crudes, because we're getting a lot of overseas. Now, the stuff from Saudi Arabia is sweet crude, but every place else is not as sweet as West Texas Intermediate, which means we are getting fewer gallons of gasoline per barrel, or diesel fuel, or aviation fuel, whatever it is, or heating oil, out of each barrel than we did before. So we have to, the oil business is a funny business. You have to really know your stuff. I mean, generalizations don't count here at all. So that means that if we used a million barrels for something, now we need, 1.2 million barrels to do the same thing, because it takes more crude to make the same results. And folks, that means that we have to find more just to break even. And we ain't doing it, folks. And consider yourself lucky at $106 a barrel, unless something catastrophic happens. I mean, it ain't going to get better. Now, there is oil in many places off the continental shelf, and there's other places, and there's ways of getting it. It's relatively expensive, relatively dangerous. But will we do it? We probably won't. And then there's EPA considerations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever we do, it's going to cost more money, even if the money means money going to politicians in Washington. Understand that. So beware. Watch this closely. Protect yourself. Just protect yourself. And a good way of doing it is to subscribe to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. And he's got an excellent newsletter that'll keep you abreast of what's going on. It's simple. I mean, even I understand it, okay? Even I understand it. I want to talk a little about education today. First, the political elitism. This is what hacks me off, really hacks me off. Here we have another caller, and that caller doesn't want to talk to me, but they want to listen on their phone. And thank you very much for calling in, but I will not call on you. This is what really, really bothers me. We elect people, and while they're running for office, or when they are speaking, what they are doing is they refer to themselves as public servants. All right, we all agree with that. Whenever there's a strike, or there's something going on, or anything, or something happens to somebody, they say so and so. Great public servant. Think about that. They're public, and they are. When they're running for office, they come to us and they plead for our vote. They have hamburgers and hot dogs with us. They pow with us. They're one with the cosmos with us. Once they get elected, what happens? All of a sudden, they become part of the super, super elite. How is it that our public servants make more money than the average person makes here, people working? How could the servant make more money? How could the president, the ultimate public servant, have maids and butlers and everything, and live like a king? Their meals are prepared for them. Everything is done. Their clothing is sent to the dry cleaner for them. They are escorted everywhere. They are like kings and queens, every one of them. And yet they're public servants. Oh, boy, I got a boing. I had no idea what that was. Wow, that was funny. Never heard that before. But we have public servants who act that way. Now, think about that. And then once we put them in office, then we say, oh, they're godlike. Oh, they said something, we got to do what they say. Folks, they're the public servant. They're the servant. We are the masters. They are the servants. But we don't think that way. But they've done a good job of convincing us that our thinking was wrong, and now we need to turn I'm thinking around 180 degrees so that we perceive them as godlike and we are meaningless. They can start a war, take our men and women, our daughters and our sons, put them overseas on some stupid mission, you know, that benefits them and their friends all the way up there. That benefits them. And we lose our families in blood. We lose it. We lose it. What? And then we say, we're so proud of your daughter or your son, you know, for their life, you know, supporting the freedom for the American people. What garbage! You know, we look up to these people. How could we look up to these people? They're frauds. Every one of them are frauds. Ron Paul's not a fraud. Ron Paul, you know, he doesn't take a salary. He refuses to take a salary as he serves. And he talks about this. And they say, oh, he's a nutcake. He's a, you know, wild guy. You know, he's, you know, fringe. You know, he's a radical. No, he's telling the truth. But when you're the only one telling the truth, you look like a madman. And no one wants to realize that at all. Nobody. Political elitism. My God. It's gotten so out of hand. I'm telling you, kings and queens around the world don't have have not been elevated. Have not been elevated to the level that we as citizens have elevated our public servants to. Think about that. You know, I keep on hearing, and I think someone's trying to break in. Ah, someone is trying to break in, and I don't know how to. Oh, I know who that is. Folks, it's somebody who is going to be on this program, and they're trying to call in via Skype. And I would assume for a second that they are having a difficult time getting in because they're not calling the regular number. And that's Sean, and he's from Canada, and he's wanted to be on my program. Sean, if you are calling in, you'll have to call in the two numbers, either the 888-773-4496 or the 646-652-4620. I don't think I can take you either way. I think he's experimenting, trying to get in some way where he wouldn't get charged all the international charges and all that. Sorry, Sean, there's no way I can help you out. This is the way the system works, okay? But I do hope I hear from you, okay? He's calling in again, and I don't know how to reach him from here. I'm afraid that I'm going to hang up on the program. So, Sean, please do call in the regular number, and you'll show up on the switchboard. If you're not on a switchboard, I can't help you. And the reason why I can't help you is that I'm afraid if I press one of the 500 buttons that are on my board now, I will disconnect the whole show, and I can't gamble that right now. I want to talk about education. I really want to talk about education now. This really bugs me. Really, really bugs me. I can't tell you recently how many people I have met that young people, really nice people, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing to do with the person, their personality, or whether I like them or they're good people, but it's their thinking. And of course, they couldn't find the job, and they all have circumstances that are totally different, and they wind up going back to school. Many of them get their master's degree. And yet, they get their master's degree, and yet they're still unemployed. Well, back in the good old days, and there's no good old days, folks. Believe me, there's no good old days. But back in the old days that weren't so good, a person with a master's degree, like an MBA, was held in high regard. I mean, geez, companies would take them on. I mean, they would be on the fast track to promotion, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, right? So, today, it seems like it's equivalent to a high school diploma. And I was having lunch with a distant family member, let me put it that way. And we were just, you know, together with the family. And I said, well, what are you doing these days? But I'm sure my husband's here there, but I'm being, but I'm hanging. And I said, well, what have you been doing? She says, well, I went to school and I got my master's degree. Now, nice gal, you know, she's been a spoiled kid all her life, I'll be honest with you, a real troubled kid, you know. But she turned around, which I give her all the credit in the world for, you know. And now she's trying to find something to do. But she had nothing to do. She got a master's degree. I said, what'd you get it in? She says, business. I got an MBA. I couldn't believe it. This gal knew no more about business than I knew about rocket scientists. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely amazing. And so now she's got an MBA. You know, I don't have an MBA. And I asked, I said, do you feel at all qualified to start your own business, to go in business, or to run a business? She said, no. We have a problem with education, a real big problem. And here are some of them. Here's the arguments that we hear. We have to stop for station identification, folks. Let's just do that, and then we'll come right back.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host this morning. We're talking about political elitism, foreign policy, and the education myth, amongst other things. We do invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. You can call direct if you're on a cell phone, 646-652-4620. Choice is yours. Use either one. I'd love to hear your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please let me hear from you. Thank you.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Thank you, Hal. Listen, the education myth drives... I'm going to talk about the education myth. This drives me nuts. Right? We talk about education... What class size should we have? You think 30 is too much or too little? And let's say it's for the teacher, you know. I mean, those are not the questions we should be asking. The questions we should be asking are the questions that we don't want to answer. Like, what is education? Is education corralling 30 to 40 kids of all different temperaments, different maturity levels, different backgrounds, different types of families, different everything. Putting them all in the room and having them memorize the same stupid crap. Is that education? If that is education, then I stand incorrect. Then that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be. Putting kids in the classroom like idiots, you know, and memorizing, taking a stupid standardized test and saying, Johnny's smart because he's got a 93 and Bobby's stupid because he got a 55, right? That's our education system. And what we talk about class size. Class size is totally immaterial. Tell me, we should not have schools. And let me give you the reason why. Let me give you my logic behind that. Let's say a kid has this propensity to become a carpenter, right? Which I wish I was because I don't know how to do squat, right? When he becomes a carpenter, what do you have to know? You have to be able to read directions, read floor plans. You're going to have to measure. You're going to have to know how to read. You're going to have to know how to write the stuff. You have to write estimates down. You have to know this stuff. Plus, you have to be able to measure, which means you have to know basic mathematics and basic geometry. There's some logic behind that. And so you learn things through things that you want to do, and you become good at them. And you don't become a juvenile delinquent because you have some purpose and you're approaching life with the attitude that this is who I am, this is what I want to be, and I am doing that. This is my road. I'm not going to be selling drugs. I want to build houses. I want to build cabinets. I want to, whatever it is. You know, I want to fix cars. I want to be a welder. I want to be an archaeologist. You know, it all requires education. But what kind of, in a classroom? Probably not. You see, most of what we need, we really learn in kindergarten. That book is very true. Yeah, our parents can teach us basic math. They can teach us how to read, and they can teach us how to write. Every parent can do that. And if they can't, they can send you to a special school for that as individual instruction and provide you with books to read. You say, oh, no, we got to have kids. They'd be stupid, this and that. Stupid. Listen, kids. Listen, guys. You know what the kids are doing now? 49% of high school students in the major cities in the United States, I'm talking major cities, even Tulsa, cities like Tulsa, which is not a big city, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Chicago, Illinois, all of them. I mean, there's dozens of them called major cities. Only 51% of the students graduate. 49% don't wind up graduating. Now, what kind of odds are that? And what they do is, when they do graduate high school, what are they prepared for? Absolutely nothing. Of the ones that do graduate, how many can read at their level, at a high school level? Very few. The system's stupid. It's broken. Not that it's broken. It's that it shouldn't be fixed. It should be done away with. Homeschooling is where it's at. Should find out what does a kid want to do. Some kids want to do this, that. My cousin, Danny, played with animals, bugs and stuff like that. You know, he wanted to become a veterinarian or, you know, a researcher. But, you know, when he was a kid, I never touched that stuff. He was always in there picking bugs up and had frogs and stuff like that. And he had all these pets. That's what he did. So we should encourage that. But you say, well, he won't learn to write and read. No, he's got to learn to write and read if he wants to follow his dream. That's the path. That's the path to education. What we should do with our education system is dismantle the entire thing. The entire thing, 100%. Now, if a parent wants to send a student to someplace for some reason, that's fine. Just think of the money that we would save and the bureaucracy, the fraud, the corruption, all down the tubes. Education in this country, we don't have an education myth. Education in this country is a myth. We don't learn anything. I didn't learn a damn thing until I was after 40 years old. Oh, I took tests. I graduated college. Didn't learn a thing because it didn't apply to anything. And that's a problem. It's a real major, major problem. So you can forget about improving our education. You cannot improve it. You cannot, because that's the wrong question. The question is, what is education? And what education is someone who has that desire in them to want to do something or learn something. You know, I've said this a dozen times on this program. I'm going to repeat it. Given a choice between hiring a kid, a student, if you will, a young man or woman who did nothing for 4 years, their high school years, didn't go to school, but read National Geographic from cover to cover for a whole month. Like, you give them a whole month. All you have to do, the kid has to do is read National Geographic from cover to cover. And they have to read it. I mean, because when you come home at night from work, you say, you know, Johnny, what did you read today in National Geographic? And they have to talk about things that are happening, people, countries, geography, you know, all these things. He can't make it up. And that's all he has to do. And the rest of the day he has off. The rest of the month he has off. And he did that every month for 4 years. Which student, which young person would you hire? The person who read National Geographic every month religiously and discussed its contents every night with their parents, but never went to school, or the kid who went to high school? I've asked this question dozens of times. Only one person says, well, I think I'd take the person from high school. All right, only one. Everyone else, dozens of people said, National Geographic. What does that tell you? It tells you that we're doing it wrong. That education is not what it is. We haven't defined education. Now, in that case, this kid may be interested in geography. In other cultures, he may be interested in languages. He may want to learn to speak a foreign language, or two foreigns, or three foreign languages. He may want to be trilingual. Well, that's what he should do. Well, you have to know how to read. You have to know grammar. Have to understand grammar. There's things that you have to understand to do that, to accomplish something. But we don't give our kids anything to accomplish. We just say you have to pass the stupid test that they hate. And everyone in this world, we take the test, and right after the test, we forget everything that we took on that test. Everything. And why do we forget? Because it's of no consequence to us. It's of no interest. We had a, the only reason why we kept it in our temporary brain storage was because we had to pass the stupid test. And we hope we could, were able to retain it long enough to write down the answer on the paper. And when we wrote on the paper, it flew out of our brains, never to return, and we never wanted it to return. And that's the problem. We're asking the wrong question about education. We talk about class size, you know, different types of schools, incentive programs for television, for teachers. All garbage, garbage. That nothing's going to change. Nothing. You can put $40 trillion towards it. Not a thing will change. Do what I suggest. Define education and have the kids do what they want to do. If they want to read comic books all day, have them read comic books all day. There's one person who's now a writer, fabulous writer, you know, did nothing but read comic books, never wanted to go to high school, never did. Now you say, well, some kids are going to become bums. Yeah, well, right now, they're all bums. When they come out of high school, I mean, there's so many of them, but bums is unbelievable. Look at the delinquency problem we have, especially in the lower income. When the lower income, we're putting them to school, they're not graduating, they come out, they have nothing. But at least let them follow what they want to do. All right, the last thing I want to touch on just for 1 minute is our foreign policy, and it's going to be only 1 minute because that's all we have left. Our foreign policy today is very similar to World War I. Folks, I want everyone to understand this. Everyone to really let this, I want this to sink in. We are still debating the reason why we fought, why World War I ever started. Oh, we say, you know, Prince Ferdinand was killed by so-and-so, by the Serbs. Yeah. But there is, historians are in disagreement as to what really started it. And I read some articles on it. Fascinating. I won't go into it now. In other words, it was so entangled alliances that no one could figure them out. And they all had to jockey themselves in position because this person did that. And it was like a snowball effect. What I'm suggesting is that we are experiencing World War I all over again. We have all of these alliances with all of these dictators around the world. The enemy of our enemy is our friend. All this stuff, and it's like these little thin metal hangers that you have in the closet. When you have a whole bunch together, you try to take one apart and they all fall off, and you got 25 hangers and you can't get them apart. That's our foreign policy. And we will have another big war, and we'll have it, and there'll be every historian will try to find out how did it start. And it won't be because this country fired upon that country. I mean, that's the action, but how and why and we will be discussing that infinitum as we are discussing how World War I and what truly caused World War I, and we'll be discussing that infinitum. Well, folks, that is the end of today's program. Let me... Gotta be careful what I say. Oh, sorry, I almost blew my ears off. Wow. I'm sure I lost a lot of people right then and there. Well, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. By the way, Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle, something I like to do personally. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels, they control the ride in your every move. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well, stay tuned.